Our Lord speaks to us, both in the readings and the gospel, to remain in him, to remain in him. He calls us to come and to stay with him. To remain in him is, using the imagery that our Lord does, is the fruit, or rather the branch attached to the vine. They have to stay connected. If the branch is separated from the vine, it withers and dies and is good for nothing. It bears no fruit, but simply becomes fuel for the fire. It is for us to remain in him, to stay attached to the Lord Jesus, and to allow his life to continue to be in us. This is the remaining that the Lord seeks within us. And it comes to us in three ways. The first way that we remain in the Lord is by doing what we heard in our second reading, of keeping the Lord's commandments. We keep his commands in manifestation of remaining in him. This is something that's vital to us in the faith. We want to ensure that the faith is given from generation to generation to generation in its fullness, in its richness, and not simply in piece or part. This faith is professed every single Sunday in its, at least the smaller form. It is for us also that every one of us, before receiving holy baptism, ourselves, if we're older, or the grandparents or the godparents and the parents, if the child is younger, are put to the test and asked a series of questions. Renunciation of the evil one, belief in God, belief in the Holy Spirit, belief in the person of Jesus, belief in the things of the church and the life of the world to come. And only when these things have been professed with a firm "I do" by the parents and godparents is the faith then able to be passed to the child as they receive holy baptism. The commands of the Lord, the teachings of Christ given to us through his church, they are formal things, but also informal things. The ways in which also the Lord not only commands us in the broad sense of the church teaching by which we must be faithful, but also to remain faithful to his commands as they come to us individually. Because our Lord also calls each of us to particular things. To each one of us, if we are able to listen, if we make the time for quiet in our prayer, the Lord will speak to us and he will call us to offer extra prayers, to pray for a particular person. He may give us some guidance in some issue that we're experiencing in our life. He will give us some encouragement. A whole number of things could happen if we are attentive to him. And then it's for us to keep those commands as well. The things that the Lord speaks to us communally as well as individually. Adam and Eve did not keep the commands very well. And on account of that, they were separated from the Lord. When the Lord came, came back later, after they had eaten of the fruit of the tree, which they had been told not to eat, they hide from God. They separate themselves from him. They cover themselves up, afraid even to be seen by one another. If we do not keep the commands of God, we have no foundation to build upon. Our house is built on sand, and as soon as we get a good Louisiana rain, it will wash away and fall. It's for us to keep the commandments. And keeping the commands of the Lord is for us then to do the second necessary piece, which is to remain in him by living in a life of prayer. Making time to pray every single day, no matter what. This is how we can also remain in Jesus. Because we remain in him, not only by keeping his commands, but being able to do the thing that Adam and Eve weren't able to do after they didn't keep his commands. When they disobeyed, they hid from God. They stayed away. Whenever we are able to keep his commands, rather than to stay away, we're compelled to stay close to the Lord, to pray, to stay in union with him, to spend time listening to the word of God and the sacred scriptures, to learn more and more about the Lord by reading the stories of our faith, to learn about the Lord as he works in the church through the lives of the saints, to be able to pray our rosary and to contemplate the life of our Lord with our Blessed Mother. All of these ways, our Lord comes and shows us something about himself and gives us blessings. He gives us his grace. His grace is that life that stays in our soul. Just like when a branch stays on the vine, it continues to receive the life of the plant as a whole. It stays alive and bears good fruits. It's especially important for us, whenever we pray, not simply always to speak to Jesus, but to make sure that we listen to Jesus too. It's easy for us to speak a lot. It's easy to say many things. And sometimes it's easy for us to be distracted and busy about many things in our mind, wondering about what's happening here or there, wondering about what's happening next, wondering when Father will stop talking so we can go have cake. Let's be honest, right? When these things can take place, it's easy for us to be thinking about so many other things, but it's important for us to make time to listen. Because if we make time to listen, Jesus Christ speaks. If we're willing to be quiet, he will say something to us. It may not be loud. It may not be every time. Usually he's very quiet. In simple ways, he lets us know his closeness to us and his love for us and the blessings that he has in store for us. And so, to stay in prayer is to know that Jesus is going to lead us and guide us and help us to stay with him, to help us to know what it is he wants from us and to be able to do it. But all of this, of course, is so important for the third part, remaining in him by remaining in the life of the sacraments, by allowing the sacraments of the church to sustain us. Again, when a plant is set in the ground, it stretches out its roots and it draws nutrition from the soil. And it draws that nutrition and it pulls it up throughout the whole plant. And as soon as something begins to show that the plant is dying, we know that there's something else has affected it. Something bad has happened. We might say that sin has happened in a sense. Something is wrong. It begins to die. If we have Jesus Christ in the sacraments, he is here to strengthen us. It's Jesus who wants to keep us close to himself, to keep us always firmly in the ground with our roots, able to drink up the soil, and us attached to him, a little branch on the greater vine, to have life, to have happiness, to have holiness. Jesus has for us, every last one of us, things that he wants for us to be able to do. He has plans for us. The scriptures tell us such. Sometimes the plans are great things, and sometimes they are very, very ordinary ones. But he has something he would like us to do each day. And when we go to our time of prayer and we ask him for these things and he helps us to understand them, the most important thing is then to be able to do it. To be able to do what Jesus tells us to. And that's not something we can do by ourselves, any of us. We have to have the sacraments. We have to have the grace of Jesus to be able to strengthen our souls. Because as he himself says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. He didn't say you won't be able to do very much. He didn't say what you'll be able to do will be kind of, you know, it'll be okay. He said, without me, you can do nothing. We need Jesus. We have to have Jesus. And what a great gift to be able to receive him in the Holy Eucharist. Sure, it takes time for our young people to prepare and to be able to recognize and to do as St. Paul said and to discern the body rightly, to recognize and to be able to understand in the mind as well something of this great mystery, that what we receive is not bread or wine. I always correct people. If you receive bread or wine at a Mass that I've celebrated, I have done something wrong. You receive the body of Jesus Christ. It is not bread. It is the flesh of the living God in a mysterious way. It looks like it, tastes like it, but it is in fact Jesus. And this is why this day is a special one, because for the first time, you will receive him in the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit's already been dwelling in your soul. He hasn't been leaving you by yourself without help. But today he gives you special help, extra grace, extra strength to encourage you in living your faith. He offers that to each of us, the wonderful blessing of being able to come and to receive Holy Communion. And as these young people have been preparing and looking forward to this day of receiving our Lord for the first time, it's my encouragement and my hope that every last one of us would have that same longing within our hearts today. To remember our own first Holy Communion. To remember the joy we had on that day. And to pray that we can receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist today as if it were for the first time. To allow the grace of Christ to enliven our soul, to bear much fruit in us. For us not to be branches that have separated ourselves from the vine, whether by failing to follow his commandments, failing to live the life of prayer, failing to celebrate the sacraments worthily and frequently and well, but rather to know that having done each of these things, we truly do remain in Jesus, and most marvelously, he comes to remain in us. He comes to make his home with us. And so let us make sure that our home is well prepared, just as these young people have gone to confession this week, have allowed their souls to be cleansed. Their home is nice and tidy. It's ready to welcome the great King. May God always see us, each and every one of us, the same. Our homes ready to receive Christ, ready to receive the King, ready to receive this great gift of Jesus, who comes to give us life.